Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a busy Thursday morning, oh my goodness, there is so much news to get through. And we actually are not going to do the news because we have to dive into two of the topics that actually are two big news stories, three big news stories actually, but two coming out of the Supreme Court yesterday, and some good news finally indeed. Good morning. It's a Wednesday. Actually, it's a Thursday. Why am I thinking it's a Wednesday? Who knows? Maybe because I have copy in front of me about the Supreme Court decisions from Wednesday. Anyway, so good to be with you here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Very excited to have Maureen Ferguson. She's been on with us many, many times before, senior fellow of the Catholic Association, talking about this very, very promising and uplifting decision from the Supreme Court yesterday, a long-awaited religious liberty decision. And by the way, Catholic News Agency, EWTN News Nightly, The Register, it's all there on the websites. And so make sure you check that out for more information. And Maureen will be with us, as I mentioned, in about 3 minutes. So yesterday, the court finding in favor of two Catholic schools in California, ruling that a ministerial exception to government interference applies to teachers in religious schools. Justice Alito, writing for the majority, stating, "The religious education and formation of students is the very reason for the existence of most private religious schools, and therefore, the selection and supervision of the teachers upon whom the schools rely to do this work lie at the core of their mission." So this is really important for religious liberty and freedom. And Maureen Ferguson will be joining us to talk about this. She's a senior fellow from the Catholic Association. Now, later on in the program, we are going to also be looking at the other major Supreme Court decision. We're going to be speaking with the Vice President of Communications for the wonderful Susan B. Anthony List, and Mallory Quigley will be joining us. They put out a statement yesterday on another victory for the Little Sisters of the Poor, and this involved the case of Little Sisters of the Poor, the HHS mandate, the contraception mandate, that was pushed on us 9 years ago. They've been fighting this battle 9 years. So Little Sisters of the Poor versus Pennsylvania, a victory, high court upholding President Trump's conscience protection for Little Sisters of the Poor and other religious moral objectors. 9 years. Bottom line, and we'll dive into this more deeply, Little Sisters and other objectors will not be forced to provide abortion-inducing drugs in their health care plans. Thank you, Jesus. All right, and then we're also going to be, after we chat with our first guest, Maureen, who's on the line and ready to chat, we're going to be speaking with the dynamic, the informative, and the much-loved, amazing Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Yay! Of course, co-host of Morning Glory. Looking forward to chatting with him. Fantastic piece that he wrote on Catholic World Report about a true Catholic response to racism. And what I loved about this, as I told him in the email as I was reading it, it's so instructive. I mean, it's an opinion piece. He gives a lot of his own opinions as someone who spent years in law enforcement and what he's seeing out there on the streets, also in his input, which is crucial, as an African-American brother in the Lord and an African-American minister in the Catholic Church. But he gives some really good action items, what we can do practically to roll up our sleeves and really address these issues that we're faced with in our country, not just the whole virtue signaling thing, which is out of control. So he joins us at 15 minutes past the hour, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Okay, without further ado, let's start talking about the victories in the Supreme Court, starting with Maureen Ferguson. Maureen, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Hi there. Great to be on with you. Thanks.
Wow. Thanks be to God. So let's talk, first of all, about the decision regarding Our Lady of Guadalupe School, what the decision was all about.
Well, it was a fantastic win for religious liberty. What was at issue here is that there were two Catholic schools in California, and they had both declined to renew their fifth grade teacher's contract. The teacher sued. And the Supreme Court sided with the schools that they indeed had the right to hire and fire as they saw fit. So this is an incredible victory for Catholic schools, because the Supreme Court recognized that Catholic schools have a right to decide who's going to teach the faith in their schools. And the government has no place meddling in that decision. And the fact that this was a 7-2 decision was actually huge and so encouraging in this time when we really need some good news. The fact that it was a 7-2 decision with even some of the liberal justices siding with Catholic schools, it just really indicates that there's very broad agreement in the Supreme Court when it comes to protecting our religious liberty and decisions of hiring and firing in Catholic schools.
So what does this mean in terms of going forward? How does this look now for the schools and not just Catholic schools?
Right. So this decision would apply to any faith-based school. So the same thing for a Jewish day school. They would have the right to decide who's going to be a teacher in their school. And just going back a little bit, there was a big case several years ago called the Hosanna Tabor case.
Right. I remember
where,
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the court clarified that there's a ministerial exception so that Title VII employment law doesn't apply to church hiring and firing of ministers, and that's kind of a broad term. But nobody knew how broad the Supreme Court would interpret the term ministerial. So the big thing about this case, the Our Lady of Guadalupe case, is that the term minister is far broader than some on the left hoped it would be. So what the court said is it doesn't matter so much what your title is at a faith-based institution. It matters what you do. So those of us who have kids in Catholic schools, we know that it's not just the priest who leads everyone in morning prayer who's teaching the faith. We know that it's the coach who says a prayer with the kids before they go on to the field. We know it's the biology teacher who's teaching about the miracle of life, mm-hmm. in addition to the scientific facts about life. So we know that in a Catholic school, in essence, everyone's a minister of the faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the priest who's saying mass at Catholic school.
Absolutely.
So the Supreme Court recognized that, which is just an incredibly important protection, especially as our culture is becoming so much more secular, so much more hostile to the faith. This was just a really heartening and encouraging win for people of faith that, you know, at least we do have protection for our institutions. Catholic schools have a right to decide who's going to teach the faith, and they recognize that, the Supreme Court recognized that the teaching of the faith is a core mission of the church. The teaching of the faith to the next generation of kids is a core mission of what the church is all about. So we Catholics kind of already knew that, but it's really important to have the Supreme Court recognize that.
We're chatting with Maureen Ferguson, Senior Fellow of the Catholic Association, regarding the victory on schools from the Supreme Court yesterday. Big religious liberty victory, as she just explained so beautifully. Okay, now here's a question, and I'm wondering in terms of the legality of this. So we have this decision, which obviously, as you said, which I think is very interesting, that the title of minister is very broad. So it could be the coach. It could be the people working in the kitchen serving lunch. It could be anyone employed. I mean, you're supposed to be God willing, upholding and understanding the teachings of the faith, whether it's Catholic or another Christian school or another faith-based school. What does this mean in terms of hiring and firing with the other Supreme Court decision that came out that was not good news for people of faith? I can't remember the title of the case. It escapes you. Yes, Bess Bostock. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So is this to help protect then schools regarding that particular situation?
Yes. So that's a really important question. So the Bostock case dealt with Title VII, which is employment law.
Right.
And already Catholic schools and churches are not subject to Title VII employment law. So Title VII does not reach inside the operations of religious organizations. So that was kind of already established, but it was extremely important that in this case, the Our Lady of Guadalupe case, the court kind of affirmed that in a sense, maybe not directly, but affirmed that in a faith-based institution, there is a right of hiring and firing. And the government, it sort of the government acknowledging this is a healthy way of having separation of church and state. The government doesn't have a role in meddling in who's teaching the faith, who's a minister of the faith in a religious organization.
Yeah.
So it seems that this blunts the impact of the Bostock case for clearly faith-based institutions.
And that's what I was wondering about. Thanks for clarifying that, Maureen. Again, talking with Maureen Ferguson. And my hope with this, as with the case regarding the HHS mandate, is that in addition to the legality of the situation, that we will look at what we're doing here, as Justice Alito said, in terms of this is the core of who we are, our mission. And just like with contraception, why is it so important that the Little Sisters of the Poor and other religious organizations or entities shouldn't be forced to pay for in their insurance plans, for example, contraceptives, abortifacients, and even abortion in some cases. So I want discussions. This is my, you know, if I could, you know, have a dream here, it would be that people would start looking at, okay, well, why is this important? And why does the church teach this? So what is religious liberty? And why is it important to be able to make sure that we can carry on our core mission? Because we need to hear more about this so we can embrace it and understand it in this United States of America, which is a democratic republic, and we forget that sometimes.
We really do, as people of faith, need to reflect more on this. And, you know, Archbishop Shep Hugh, many years ago, was very prescient and prophetic in talking about the growing secularization of our culture, saying that he kind of predicted that we're kind of going to be like strangers in a strange land, because Catholicism in America had pretty much gone mainstream. We didn't have to stand up for the rights of to practice our faith in the public square. But over time that has eroded, and that prophetic message, I think we kind of all feel like maybe it's here. We do sometimes feel like we're strangers in a strange land. So it's really important for us to reflect upon that, to reflect upon how we're going to inculcate the faith in the next generation. We really need our children to grow in fortitude and love. Our children need to learn how to express their faith. Our children need to understand the founding of our nation. And, you know, we're an English colony, of course, where there was an established religion. So the founders of our country made it clear that we have the free exercise of our religion here, and that there is no established religion for the sake of the free practice of whatever religion people choose. So we need our children to better understand the First Amendment, our freedom to practice our faith, not just within the four walls of our church, just within the walls of our Catholic school, but we ought to have a right to go out and serve. And that's where the Little Sisters of the Poor case comes in, because these are sisters who are out there in the public square. They're out there serving the poor, but yet they were being told by the government, well, we need you nuns to help distribute contraception. And abortion.
It's so interesting, and we're going to be talking with the Susan B. Anthony list about this a little bit later on, but reading some of the secular stories saying that women are being denied contraception. No, they're not. They're not being denied contraception. They could, I mean, what, people walking into Walgreens and CVS and taking all the contraceptives off the shelves, or doctors no longer prescribing the, I mean, come on. This is, and this is what happens, this misinformation, as if we're oppressing women. Of course, we know in the Catholic Church what we teach about these issues, but that's why it's so important to have these reflective, to sit back, to pray, to reflect, and go back to what the Church teaches on not only religious liberty, but of course, the key teaching on contraception, especially this month on the anniversary always of Humana Vitae, and when we celebrate, of course, NFP Month. Maureen, great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Where do we find you online?
You can find us at thecatholicassociation.org, and we also have an EWTN radio show and podcast.
Look at you. Woohoo! Yes, I know. I heard about that. Tell us about it real quick before we let you go.
All right, Conversations with Consequences, and it's led by my colleague, Dr. Gracie Christie. She's our main host, and then I kind of come in and out and co-host from time to time. But we have great guests, so I would really encourage people to tune in.
Awesome. Thanks, Maureen. God bless you. Keep up the great work both on the air and in the Catholic Association. We'll be right back to talk with someone else who does terrific work, our friend Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, co-host of the daily EWTN radio program, Morning Glory. He had a terrific report, Catholic World Report story, Catholic Response to Racism. He joins us up next. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
I turned from a recreational drug user to a drug addict. That took me to my knees. I lost a family, almost two families. I lost friends. Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it. I love it. My heart's there. I took communion after 18 years, and the rest of the Mass, I sat and cried. God restored my life. God restored my family. God restored my love.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You hear him every morning, Monday through Friday, on Morning Glory with Monsignor Pope and Gloria Purvis, our very own Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, deacon obviously in the Catholic Church, well-known author and speaker, and does such great good in the faith. And he had a terrific article at CatholicWorldReport.com. And what I told him in the email when we were scheduling this interview was what I loved about it is that it was so practical and it had some really excellent points in what we can do. And Deacon, this is what is very frustrating to me because everybody wants to jump on the virtue signaling. We're all concerned about these issues, supposedly. But then what do we do at the end of the day when all the cameras go away and the protests die down and we still have these core issues that we need to face in terms of people concerned about cases of police brutality, people concerned about still the issue of racism and oppression, and then we're left to kind of pick up the pieces, as a Catholic Church usually is, and to deal with a lot of these things. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
No, it's great to be here with you, Teresa, as always. Yeah, I miss you.
I miss you, too. Deacon Dom says hi, by the way.
Yeah, awesome.
He's waving in the background since we're still working from home.
Deacon Dom, he's awesome. Yeah. Great. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it very much. Well, I think one of the things that we're seeing in our culture today, especially, you know, with just the vitriol and everything else going on, is that, you know, we live in a culture that encourages people to feel and not to think. Mm-hmm. And this is the result of our public education system, quite frankly, that we're indoctrinating our students into, you know, well, if it feels good, dude, just go with your emotions, and not teach them how to think critically and analytically about things, looking at both sides, weighing them, analyzing it, and just saying, what is truth? What is going to be leading us to truth? Because truth has become subjective in our culture. And I think what we're seeing is partially a result of that.
You start the article out with a beautiful quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I was giving Bishop Olmsted had invited me to speak on Martin Luther King celebration. I actually give the homily at Mass while he was there, which is unusual to preach when a bishop is is saying a Mass. But he asked me to give the homily, so I was looking at what could I find from Martin Luther King that, you know, like not people don't quote from or don't know about. So I found a couple things, and one was his acceptance speech for the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm. And in there, he's, you know, he says, humanity must evolve for all human conflict, a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. And that immediately drew my heart to 1 John 4:16, which is my favorite lines in the whole of Scripture. You know, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And he who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. And so, you know, racial injustice and prejudice are antithetical to exactly what Dr. King is talking about and what John says in his Gospels. We have to lead with love. We mm-hmm. have to lead with love. And that's particularly important today, Teresa, because people may not know, today is the anniversary of the death of the venerable Father Augustus Tolton, who I also mentioned in my article as well. You know, as the first black priest in the United States, I mean, faced tremendous obstacles and racism, both within and without the church when he was on his way to becoming a priest. In fact, he was rejected from every seminary in the United States and was ordained a priest in Rome at the Vatican.
And sent
back to the United States. But I mention him because he never retaliated or sought revenge. His heart was never filled with animosity or vitriol. Even though the white priest told the parishioners, white parishioners going to his parish, that it did not count for your Sunday obligation if you went to his
mass. Wow.
You know, he responded with love and patience, understanding. So I think he could serve as a model for how we as Catholics can respond today.
We're chatting with our friend Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers from EWTN Radio and TV, best-selling Catholic author, well-known speaker, A Catholic Response to Racism, powerful piece, and we'll post a link to it on the archives of A Catholic Connection. You know, I sent you the link to an interview with one of the Black Lives Matter leaders, and it was very, very disturbing to me on a number of levels, but you have an extensive police background, and when you're talking about keeping the peace, I know you're approaching it as a minister of God in the Catholic Church, but you're also approaching it knowing the importance of having a well-balanced police system set up in our society today.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, here's the thing. There's a lot of talk about defunding the police again, which is an emotional reaction and not one that really is thinking deeply about the entire situation. You know, I've spent a lot of my career, 23 years in law enforcement, in fact, serving on the board that oversaw the training of police officers for the state of Oregon. So, again, I'm intimately familiar with these issues with the training of police. And I can tell you that no police officer is trained at the academy to kneel on people's necks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just not something that they're trained to do. So. And so we look at this, we have to, and I agree that there definitely needs to be, some reforming and rebuilding. Absolutely. But I think defunding is a far reaching overreaction that's short-sighted and irresponsible.
And overly emotional. Look at what happened in Seattle, not all that far from you, where the mayor was talking about the summer of love, and then when the rioters showed up at her doorstep, and when there were people that were killed, and there were shootings and sexual assaults as well that were reported, all of a sudden they realize, oh, gee, maybe this summer of love thing isn't working out.
Yeah, exactly. And now that's all dismantled, by the way.
Right, exactly.
They came and took all that apart. But when someone comes, you know, see, there are people out there that are evil, And they don't have consciences. They're going to come and try to hurt you and your family. Who are you going to call? You going to call a politician? You going to call an activist? No, you're going to call a man or a woman who took an oath to uphold the law and even to give their life for you, a stranger. You know, regardless of your race or religion or what past mistakes you've made. And so we talk about defunding police. What are you going to cut? I said in the article, homicide investigations, sex crimes, human trafficking, identity theft, drugs and gangs. What are you cutting? See, here's the thing. Policing is a vocation and a calling from God. And Jesus himself says in John 15, greater love has no man to lay down his life for his
for
friends.
A friend. Right.
You know, and that's what police officers do every single day. They work hard to serve and protect and to give their lives, if necessary, for people that are in their care. And here's the thing, if there was, and I mentioned this in the article too, Teresa, if there were serial arsonists going around burning down buildings and killing people in those buildings. And it comes to find out, it's discovered that these arsonists are firefighters.
Right.
No one would ever say, let's defund the fire department.
Yeah.
Because of these rogue firemen. No one is calling for defunding physicians because some doctors perform abortions or euthanize their patients. I am angry and I'm upset about what's been going on. No one's more angry about this than good cops. But just like priests that are angry about the few priests who abuse children, you know, we have to look at it from the perspective that, yes, what happened that we saw with George Floyd and others are not the norm. They're definitely the exception.
When we come back, I want to go over some of the great points that you make and practical things that we can do, including seeing past the stereotypes, appreciating the gift of diversity, and making a serious effort to promote conversation and dialogue, among other things. Chatting with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, you know him well from his great work at EWTN and beyond. And check out the article that he wrote. It's so good. Lots of documentation for the excellent points that he makes. A Catholic response to racism. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. Do you appreciate that you can think and reason? Or do you just take it on faith that you can reason? John Paul the Great wrote, faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. That is, you can't have faith without reason, or reason without faith. If you clip the wing of one, you'll fly around in circles searching for the truth. Put another way, faith requires thinking, and thinking requires a truckload of faith. Do I need to tell you to think about that? Of course not. Today, appreciate that God has given you the faith to think. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Why does the Catholic Church value virginity? At the heart and center of all Christian life is Christ the Lord. The Catechism tells us that our bond with Christ takes precedence over all bonds, familial or social. From the Church's very beginning, there have been men and women who have forsaken marriage to follow the Lamb wherever he leads them. Christ himself has invited certain persons to follow him in this way of life, for which he remains the model. Virginity for the sake of the kingdom is an unfolding of baptismal grace, a powerful sign of the supremacy of a person's bond with Christ. It is also a sign that this bond recalls that marriage is a reality of this present age, which is passing away. St. John Chrysostom puts it well. The most excellent good is something even better than what is admitted to be good. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back. 28 minutes past the hour. Get this column, or this actually opinion piece. It's more like a well-done news article because there's so much great information in here. From Deacon Harold, A Catholic Response to Racism. Post it, share it. Share it with your parish to put in their bulletin. It's really, really well done. And it's written by our dear friend and fellow broadcaster here on EWTN, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, co-host of Morning Glory. You hear every day right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. What I love about this is it's like practical application. You give very specific things that we can do as Catholics to make a difference in our culture and what's going on in our world right now. So there's several of them. But one of the things I really want to talk about, and thanks for joining us again, make a serious effort. You have several points. Let me just list a few, and then I'll pick a couple I think that are really important for right now. All are, but a few I want to focus on. We need to see past stereotypes and see people. We need to appreciate the gift of cultural diversity. We need to make a serious effort to promote conversation and dialogue. And law enforcement use of force practices need to be reevaluated. So these are several things that you point out, and you back each one up very, very creatively and with a lot of fact and some great insight. But I want to start with this. Make a serious effort to promote conversation and dialogue. Nobody's talking right now, Deacon. Everybody's screaming at each other, and we're even seeing that in the Catholic world, which Bishop Barron has stated in a recent video.
You know what the problem is, Teresa, with all of this? There is no leader right now that people can rally around with regard to this issue. Think about it. Back in the 50s and 60s, there was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. With apartheid in South Africa, there was Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
But now with what's going on today, there's no one, there's not a leader that people can say, yes, we can rally around him. We can, you know, it's like a magnet. We're drawn to him. Yes, this is someone we can follow. This is someone that's going to lead us, you know, to continue to work that Martin Luther King. There's not going to be another Martin Luther King. There's only
right.
one.
Right.
But there's no one to fill that gap. And so we see all this animosity. But one of the things I mentioned in the article is back in 2016, when a lot of these issues were going on with acts of injustice against African Americans,
mm-hmm.
two rappers, one of them was Snoop Dogg, and the other one was a guy called The Game, they organized a meeting with the police chief and the mayor of Los Angeles, and their purpose was to facilitate change through dialogue and understanding. And I'm like, yes, we, mm-hmm. you know, instead of ripping down statues and doing all this virtue signaling and just all the anger and animosity, you know, we need to really open the doors to dialogue and break down communications barriers. And that can happen with respectful dialogue between those in power and those who are disenfranchised.
Right.
You know, those deep-seated commitments to building integrity and sharing wisdom and imparting knowledge can lead to this beautiful reciprocal relationship of love and true change.
Mm-hmm. That's so important. And we need more calm dialogue. It doesn't mean we can't engage each other and debate respectfully, but in many cases, I see things out there in the Catholic world that are similar in nature in terms of the vitriol and the attacks to what we're seeing in the secular cancel culture. We have our own Catholic cancel culture, it seems, in some areas.
No, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, reaching out with compassion
right.
to those of different races, to hear their stories, to respond with empathy, to work through differences, you know, as the scripture said, with humble and contrite hearts. And I think that can really create what I call a harmonic of love that will reverberate in our hearts and throughout our country.
You also mentioned law enforcement and the use of force practices. They need to be reevaluated. One of the things you recommend is for people to go, and you and I were talking about this during the break, and I think this is very important for a leader in a community who thinks that defunding the police is a good idea. Go on a ride-along. See what they do on a daily basis. Then, as you say, make an informed decision on how to move forward.
That's so important. In fact, some jurisdictions have what they call citizen academies.
Yeah, yeah, where you can actually go. Yeah,
yeah, and mm-hmm. I say go and do yeah. that as well. You know, get all the information and make an informed decision. Ride along with the men and women of law enforcement. See what they do every day, how they respond, why they're responding the way that they do. So you can get a better understanding before you also just defund the police. You know, walk a mile in your brother's or sister's shoes first. You know, I think there could be also better psychological testing and screening to identify bias and prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, those screening techniques don't screen for bias or prejudice that you may be bringing into the job itself. So I think that can be improved. I think better scenario-based training. Especially
so what do you mean by that? More specific. What do you mean scenario-based training?
So what police officers do is they put the officer is part of training in scenarios, and they want to see how the officer reacts.
They react.
So a traffic
right.
stop or an argument with somebody. You pull up on a house and there's a domestic dispute going on. And so it's obviously it's not a real situation, but they make it realistic so the officer can actually feel what that situation is like and put the training that they've learned into practice. And I think they can do a better job with the scenario-based training when it comes to dealing people with different races and things. Again, because you want to see a person and not just an object,
right?
So, and I think the Police Executive Research Forum has done some great work. And one of the things they're recommending is to the officers to recognize the inherent dignity of every human person. That's a very, that should be written into the curriculum. That's a very Catholic attribute right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one thing that I did when I was teaching a course on contemporary threat assessment methodology at the police academy. I was teaching police officers and first responders how to identify and respond to threats of terrorism. But I put a very human element into it. I said, we're doing the work that we're doing to protect real people. And I gave names and faces to those people so they can see that the work that we're doing is real. It's not just theoretical. Mm-hmm. And I think that could also be applied to training at the police academy as well. And, of course, multiple mandatory cultural diversity training for all officers, which doesn't happen on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and I think also, I know that they've done a lot more in this in terms of dealing with post-traumatic stress and all the violence and the horrible situations that police are thrust in daily. There's been more on that in terms of retreats and help with, you know, the psychological dealings and the stress, everyday stress. They're doing more on that, but maybe even more needs to be done in that area.
Yeah, and even police chaplains. I mean, deacons can serve as police chaplains because they're not, you know, it's not the official chaplaincy, you know, what the Catholic Church considers, which only priests can be chaplains. But in this case, you know, a deacon could be a chaplain, too. So I think that would be helpful because you're right. You look at the suicide rates, alcohol mm-hmm. rates, divorce rates.
Divorce rates
are very high. Now, because they're dealing with the stress and in a lot of sense, people at the worst moments of their lives.
Right, and a very thankless
very
job
stressful.
In many ways. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I want to do, if you have time, Deacon, I know you're busy, but if you can stay with us for another segment, because there's a whole other area of the practical things that you suggest that are so, so important. And there's putting God back in society, walking by faith, not by sight. And then you also talk about praying constantly. And so I just want to talk about this briefly with you when we come back, if you can stay for a few more minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Thank you. I know you're very busy. I appreciate it. Having a great conversation with our friend Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, co-host of Morning Glory here daily right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Not that you need people to remind you where we can find you, but because you're so popular. But what's your website if people want to have you on as a speaker?
Yeah, just deaconharold.com. Very easy.
And let's hear it for the deacons. Yay! Woo-hoo. Okay, we'll be right back. Sorry, that's just a deacon's wife speaking up here. Stay tuned. More Deacon Harold coming up.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the Brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer. To be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Who is Jesus Christ? The question may seem simple, but understanding Christ is essential to living our faith to the fullest. In Captivated by the Master, Father Brian Mullady walks you through the Catholic Church's teaching on Christ, who He is as the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, and so much more. Captivated by the Master, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Catholic World Report posted this fantastic article by our friend, fellow radio and TV host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, A Catholic Response to Racism. And Deacon, I wanted to go over toward the end of the article, you talk about among the practical efforts that we can do in our homes and in our church and even in our world amongst our family and friends that you talk about, and this is so important, but let me kind of lump these three together for the sake of time. You talk about putting God back in society, walking by faith, not by sight. You also talk about praying constantly. And this, I think, is a huge part of the problem, because without God, things implode. And when you don't have faith, then you look for another God, because we're built for relationship and we're looking for that something. And I think in many cases, and this is why prayer and reaching out is so important, many of these people involved in some of these movements that are very destructive, they don't have God, and they're looking for some sort of utopia here on earth, which we know as Christians, it's a fallen world. It's never going to be perfect. Not that we sit by and allow racist acts to continue or other horrendous things. But at the same time, we know that we are pilgrim people. And so we have a different view, different world view. But when you don't have God, this is just proof of how things implode.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just touch briefly on each of these. Again, people can go back and read the full article at Catholic World Report. But about putting God back in society, you know, when you remove God from the public square, what do you make room for? The devil.
Right.
And so, you know, we know that we're made in God's image and likeness. What the culture is doing by taking God out of society, it's making God into their own image and likeness.
Right.
You know, and so the lawlessness and the rhetoric and the assaults on religious liberty and all the other things we're seeing are a result of this. And so we can't just sit back and just say, well, that's just the way things are. No, we have an obligation and responsibility by our baptism to make the kingdom of God come alive in the world. In fact, we're hearing that in Matthew's gospel over the past several weeks now, in the scriptures, in the gospels at Mass. And we have to walk by faith, not by sight. And I talk about Father Tolton, and I had mentioned him earlier.
Oops, I think we lost Deacon Harold. Are you there?
Could have left the church and nobody would have said anything. Mm-hmm. Well, of course he's going to look what they did to him. But he realized that what the church teaches is true and good and beautiful, despite the people in the church that are sinners in need of God's mercy. And we can't forget it. We have to focus on the teachings, not the people. And he even made a statement where he said that the church is broad and generous, and she is the church for our people.
The universal church.
In the midst of being discriminated against by parishioners and, after he became a priest, by his fellow priests.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have to pray constantly. You know, the prayer is the food that feeds and nurtures our souls. For example, it's prayer. That's why we have the liturgy of the word first, because we receive our God in that word.
Oops. Are you there, Deacon? I think we lost the Deacon again. Yeah, we got disconnected. Oh, boy. Sorry about that. He was just wrapping up so beautifully. But for more information, please go to Catholic World Report and look up the article, or we will have it posted on our Catholic Connection archive links at AveMariaRadio.net, and that will happen by noon today. Again, this is one of the best opinion pieces, articles that I've seen in recent weeks and months regarding what's going on in our world, A Catholic Response to Racism by Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Of course, he's a co-host of Morning Glory, heard every day right here on EWTN, and just a terrific voice in the world for our time, for such a time as this. Check it out, A Catholic Response to Racism. And we'll be right back to take a look at that other victorious decision that came out of the Supreme Court yesterday regarding religious liberty. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
This is Dr. Stan Williams. Why do Christians believe what they do? Not what, but why? What are the facts, evidences, and reasons for the Christian faith? Nineveh's Crossing has just released a new book titled Basic Christianity, Facts, Evidences, Reasons. It's a religious education course for teens through adults in Christian history, archaeology, and logic. Basic Christianity, available now at AveMariaRadio.net in the bookstore. Look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
The EWTN home video highlight for July is The Heresies, Gnosticism. Christianity has fought against this heresy from the beginning, and its errors still infiltrate our culture today. Order your DVD of The Heresies, Gnosticism at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish," or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to a busy Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So appreciate the great work of our dear, dear friend and brother, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And again, do yourself a favor and check out the article that he wrote for Catholic World Report. It's I think it was posted at the end of June, early this month. I also posted it on my Facebook page at Facebook.com, Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, and had a great response to it. But it's something that we can read, we can share, and it offers a lot of great meditative and reflective points, because what he does, and I wish you could have stayed on longer, but we were having some technical difficulties, is he brings out a number of different scriptures. And so we could take this and maybe print out this article and take our Magnificat or Word Among Us or our Bible or all of the above and just sit with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament in adoration and just kind of pray about what God is asking us to do in the midst of a very volatile situation in our country, in our church, in our world. I think that's so important right now. But what I really love about this article is he has some really practical solutions. I mean, there's a lot of really good opinion pieces out there, and there's a lot of really good discussions in terms of videos that are going on, you know, with various Catholic organizations, and that's all terrific as well. But this is extremely practical, and he gives practical steps that we can take. And I love the idea of going on a ride-along with the police. You have no idea what the men and women in our police force go through. And I've been on ride-alongs, and as a journalist, as I mentioned earlier, I have constantly been, almost every day in my work as a journalist, covering breaking news and covering so many stories, whether it be fires, whether it be murders, whether it be car accidents, whether it be domestic violence, I've been right there with the police, watching these situations develop and watching them move in to try to help people and to serve and protect. And so Deacon Harold has some great points in how we can help make sure they're doing their jobs well while respecting the dignity of every human person. And speaking of the dignity of the human person, some great news out of the Supreme Court yesterday. And wow, what a blessing. Two really good religious liberty decisions that came out. You heard earlier about the Supreme Court and the teacher situation. And now we have our dear friend Mallory Quigley from the wonderful Susan B. Anthony list. Wow, great decision. And I'm wondering, though, Mallory, do you think that even though this is yet another victory for the Little Sisters of the Poor, where does this go from here? Because I did see some reports that they could face yet more challenges in court. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Teresa. Mm-hmm. It is crazy to think that that there's a chance that this might not be over for the little sisters. They've just been through so much, and they have shown us what it means to be joyful in the face of adversity. Just to see those smiling faces and the love that they have for their mission and to serve the elderly poor, such a beautiful example for all of us. So that's right. We did, but yesterday's decision was good, but there is a technical thing that it's going to go back to the lower court, and the regulation might face a new line of attack. So it's not quite over, but our allies at the Beckett Fund, who of course are representing the Little Sisters, are, you know, celebrating this as a win that the president's administration, you know, is standing up for religious liberty, and the court recognized that. But gosh, I mean, to think that this is a decade-long fight now.
Yeah, just over 9 years.
It's crazy. And to think, to put ourselves back in that moment when the Obamacare passed, and I remember protesting outside of the HHS building in D.C. back when Kathleen Sebelius was in charge, and understanding the threat to our religious freedom and our conscience rights that we would, as Catholic sisters, you know, who live to serve the elderly poor, being forced to provide abortion and abortion-inducing drugs to the other employees that work with them. And it's terrible. And then having to sign a permission slip to say
right.
that you're consenting, you know, to this. It's just such a violation. And so we're so pleased that President Trump and Vice President Pence, they've been such fighters for the Little Sisters and for people of faith and conscience who do not want to be complicit in any way with abortion, including through taxpayer funding of abortion.
Yeah, I think it's the timing of this, being that this is the month of where we always celebrate the anniversary as Catholics of Humana Vitae, of human life, from Pope Paul VI, and also looking at NFP in the church. I think that's very significant, and we should take the time to really reflect on these teachings and why we speak out regarding contraception, and not only because of the abortifacient aspect of it, but because of what it does to the relationship and why the church recognizes that this is not good for anyone. I think what's really important as well is to understand this case a little bit more deeply, and I know you put out a great statement, the Susan B. Anthony List, as well as other Catholic and pro-life organizations, because this is about religious liberty. Why should, and they're making it sound as if, and we don't agree obviously with contraception or abortifacients, but why should someone who is against us be forced to pay for this? And they're making it sound as if all the contraceptives are off the shelves and that there's no more OBGYNs that are, you know, prescribing the birth control pill or other contraceptive methods. They're making it sound like because of this decision, women are not going to have access to birth control at all. That's how this story is being portrayed.
Right. And it's so ridiculous. I mean, we're living in this time where there's just such an abundance of contraception. And of course, as Catholics, you know, we disagree with the youth. But it couldn't be further from the truth that this is going to be somehow, you know, unavailable for women and men who are seeking access. It's that, you know, Catholics, people who object to, you know, this is such a, our church's teaching is so beautiful on this position, so I'm kind of glad that it gives us opportunity to talk about it. You know, maybe
right.
like in some ways this is an evangelization opportunity, because we do have the most consistent, beautiful, holistic teaching on the human person and the, you know, what it means to be in marriage and to become parents and to cooperate with God's grace. But you know, like it's just such a lie, and the media, not you, Teresa, but you know, the media is exaggerating so much what this means for the people that are impacted. I mean, you can go to there's just an abundance of contraception available. We're still living in a highly, you know, a world with a contraceptive mentality everywhere you turn.
Yeah. And you know, too, what really is frustrating, and that's why I really want to share things like the papal letter to women and of human life, Humana Vitae, with people, especially women, because if you read those documents, it's all about uplifting women. And you know, Archbishop Shapiro, one of my favorite teachers in the Catholic Church, has always spoken about how contraception basically gives men, more reason and more excuses to abuse and take advantage of women. And the media and the culture portrays this in just the opposite, that we have to be free and we have to do this. Well, why isn't there a cancer-causing pill for men, I mean, in terms of contraception? There's so much that in terms of the violation of a woman's dignity and rights with contraception, and it's portrayed the exact opposite. And as you said, this is a great opportunity, just as with the decision on the courts for the teachers in the schools in religious liberty, this is a great opportunity for us to reflect and see the beauty of what our church gives us and the dignity of the human person, in addition to taking a closer look at what the justices said in both of these decisions. Mallory, I could talk to you forever on this. Thank you for the great work that you do. Please say hello to Marjorie and all the great people at your organization. Where can we find the Susan B. Anthony List online?
Please check us out at sbalist.org, sbalist.org. And Teresa, you're absolutely right that, you know, the early feminists, they saw abortion and I would imagine contraception to be an exploitation of women and a way for men to cover up crimes of rape and infidelity. So this isn't, it's only a new idea, you know, recently in our time, that this is something that's supposed to be empowering for women, when really we know that it wounds and kills.
Thank you so much for your insight and for all your great work at the Susan B. Anthony List. Really appreciate it. And again, keep up the great work. And folks, we'll have all kinds of resources on EWTN.com, as well as the Catholic News Agency has a number of different stories on both of these cases, and we'll post some on my Facebook page as well. Have a beautiful Thursday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, the end of the week already. Again, ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.